Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
This is Radio City Talk.
It's that time of week when Neil Atkinson joins me to rampage through the Reds. Morning to you, Neil.
Good morning, Steve.
Great to see you. Right, before we get into any sort of title talk and things like that, I wanted to touch on the news that has broken this morning of three very talented youngish, some of them are younger than others, players who've been given new contracts. So Kevin Stewart, he's 23, so he's not that young. Trent Alexander-Arnold and Ben Woodburn. So Liverpool announced this morning they've all committed their futures to the football club. I think this is very exciting. I've seen a lot of Trent Alexander-Arnold, and I'm very impressed with him. I think Ben Woodburn could be, and you don't want to push him too hard, could be the real deal. Let's hope he turns out that way. But Kevin Stewart, certainly, has made a big impact already for the Reds.
I think he's the most interesting one with these new deals. I think that there's a general awareness that Alexander-Arnold is... And huge credit, actually, to the staff, to Alexander-Arnold himself and to the staff at Liverpool in terms of what they've done. It's put him in a position where he's ready or could be ready to deputise for Nathaniel Clyne. Last season, or two seasons ago, he was seen as an attacking midfielder, and someone seen something quite early on. And as I say, I think that this has been on the cards. I think they've been thinking about this, and what they've done is they've forced him effectively. Well, probably not forced him. He's probably acquiesced to it because he understands the logic into playing right back and just learning how to play right back because they see that as the smoothest path into the first team. What happens from there? It can change. It could be different. He could go on to go back to being a more attacking midfielder. But that's what Liverpool have done with him. So huge credit to him and to the staff for seeing that route, that path, that it's easier to get in and get games at right back conceivably than it would be to come in and play centre midfield, as an example, where the queue's longer and the demands on the position are perceived at least to be a little bit better and different. And I think it also shows the way in which Jurgen Klopp in particular views the way those fullbacks work. We have been talking about the James Milner at left back thing as though it's some sort of compromise measure, stopgap, either a way to get James Milner in the team or just that he's doing a certain job. But instead, I think it's because what the manager wants from his fullbacks is actually that they've got the sort of skill set of an attacking midfielder and not of your traditional up and down fullbacks. That's quite interesting. Woodburn just looks like a remarkable talent. The one that's fascinating is Kevin Stewart. He got a new contract in April and he's got another one now. And at the weekend, Lucas Leiva plays centre back and Emre Can plays in front of Jordan Henderson. And I just wonder, and hopefully we don't get to find the answer out. But when Liverpool played in the League Cup, it was the last game against Spurs. It was Kevin Stewart who came in and played at the base of the midfield with the others moving in front of him. And I sort of wonder if, in Jurgen Klopp's mind now, Kevin Stewart's the number two for that position. So we think that at the moment, if something happened to Henderson, he may well move Emre Can back there because Emre Can played there last season. And I'd still sort of, you know, listen, Liverpool are away at Southampton next game. If something does happen to Henderson, I think I'd expect Can to move back, but it's not quite as nailed on as it was. It might be that the manager might think, no, the next cab off the rank for that role now is Kevin Stewart. So Emre, you're playing further
you're
forward.
You're indicating that Lucas only has one role within the team.
I think Lucas now is
he's
is
only got that role within the centre half.
Third choice centre half.
Yeah.
So I think Lucas is third choice centre half now, broadly speaking. And I wonder if in the manager's mind he wants Emre Can playing in front of whoever the holder is rather than being the holder.
Because he doesn't trust him in that position.
I think it may be that just that he thinks he'll get more out of him in the other one. You know, in the same way that, for instance, we're not saying that he wouldn't trust Jordan Henderson to play further forward in front of somebody who holds, but he would still, he's decided that the skill set he wants from whoever does that, he wants it to be Jordan Henderson's. And he's clearly worked hard with Jordan Henderson on that. So I just wonder whether or not he thinks, right, I've got the way in which we set up, Lallana plays there, and Lallana, Can and Wijnaldum are competing for those, effectively for those positions in front of where Henderson is, and that, as I say, I mean, I'd still expect Can to sit in there, but I don't think it's as clear cut. Certainly as it would have been before a ball's kicked this season, when you would have said Chan's first choice for that position, and Henderson's maybe second, or maybe he's the one who's playing in front, because the way
you've not mentioned Wijnaldum anywhere.
Wijnaldum plays in front of whoever it is who's the holder.
So you don't think his position can change in any way?
I don't think he can go further back. I think he's already. I think when he came in, a lot of people said, "Well, he's more of a number 10. He plays here. He plays here." I think he's probably playing as far back as we think, but As I say, I do wonder if the manager's sort of gone, no, Emre Can now plays further up the pitch than this. Kevin Stewart's going to be the guy who comes in should something happen with Henderson, certainly if it happened for 4 or 5 games, because I want Emre Can ahead. I want him doing what he's done at the weekend, which is arriving late into the box. I want his physical presence. I want his ability to go past people. I want them there. And it's not as though, we don't feel as though the manager's got any frustrations with what Henderson's doing. It appears to be that Henderson's being exactly what the manager wants. He's been the player that he wants. Mm. So what that suggests to me is that if that's the skill set, for instance, he's not looking for the lad who plays what he calls number six. I don't like that terminology, but he says the number six. I don't think he wants a number six who, like Emre Can, can go past to. I think he wants a number six who directs the play. I think he wants a number six who runs the show, but without having to overcommit at certain times. And I just sort of think part of how this works with the fullbacks pushed right up, with two in front of one who sits, and then three playing across the attack with all this movement, I sort of wonder if he wants someone, he wants as responsible a holder who's got these sort of characteristics, but will always pretty much be there, which is what you've had from Henderson this season. Yes, occasionally he bombs on or veers out to the right. But I wonder if he wants someone, and he wants to be able to say to Emre Can, who's 22, 23 still, enjoy your football. You go and get involved. There should always be someone. He's 22 or 23, I'm not quite sure.
Oh, so he could be younger than Kevin Stewart.
Yeah, I think he might be younger than Kevin Stewart, yeah.
You see, mate, there must be a slight frustration with Kevin Stewart. I know he's got a new deal and he's great as part of the club. A slight frustration that he's not sort of consistently involved in anything. And that makes it even harder to gauge, doesn't it, from a fan perspective. You've seen all of them have a consistent run. You've got a vague idea, haven't you? Whereas Kevin sort of appears, plays really well, and then doesn't get another game the next game.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I would expect his next game for Liverpool comes when we play Leeds. That's the next time he's going to play for Liverpool. But then, even there, though, what does the new deal tell you? It tells you that the manager likes him around the place. That the manager, you know, he must have the right attitude. He could well be one of those lads he's first into training and last to leave. Because since Jurgen Klopp's come in, the amount of, I mean, he's talked about Kevin Stewart a lot as well, so I think he must sort of like, and the manager doesn't like to talk about individuals, so I think that he's had there must be things that he's doing that we're not seeing, which I think gets, you know, is getting the attention of the manager. And as I say, it would be easy for there just be contracts for Alexander-Arnold and for Woodburn, but there isn't in this instance. For whatever reason, having just given him a deal in April, he gets another deal in November, and that suggests that at the very least he's liked, even if he's not necessarily going to get 250 games for Liverpool.
Do you know, as fans, and 2 years ago, you look at the squad and you go, oh, the squad's not deep enough, the bench is rubbish. The squad seems like it's absolutely bulging at the seams now. It's ridiculous, isn't it? The number of players you could actually give an opportunity to monstrous.
But the test for that, though, comes when they've got to play 2 games a week. Yeah. And that's, you know...
So that's next year.
That we now think that will be next year. You know, be very surprised if Liverpool don't have European football. But that's where I think we'll find out for a few of these lads. Because it may not be, for instance, that Kevin Stewart's playing the Champions League games, but it might be expected that he's able to then come in and play in the league game that's at the weekend. Mm-hmm. And that's where we'll find out sort of if what the manager's... And I think that the manager thinks he can do it, not just him, but also across the board. But for the intensity and the way in which Liverpool play, you know, when Liverpool start to play Saturday, then we'll find a few things out about what the manager's doing and how these players are working, because it'll be hard graft that to play at that level, to watch sides crumble, the opposition crumble around you because they can't live with what you're doing. To be able to do that three times a week and once away, once going halfway across Europe, that'll be a real test.
Okay, let's introduce Robbie to our conversation. Our top man, Robbie, who's always got something on his mind. Morning to you, Rob.
Hey, Steve.
What's burning into your brain today about Liverpool?
I was listening to John Dana before, and he was going on about our defence conceding loads of goals. We've got to score so many goals to win the game. We've actually only had to score more than two twice this year to win a game.
I agree with you, Rob, to be honest with you.
This is the biggest mythology about Liverpool's defence going. I've been like a bit of a stato lately as well. I've been you know, this Golden Gloves, what the goalies get.
Yeah.
Every season. Well, since it's come into play in 2004-05, the team who won the league that year, the Premier League that year, the Golden Gloves have only gone to their goalie 5 times.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think that, for instance, at the minute, would you rather be Liverpool or Spurs? Well, I'd rather be Liverpool. In every sense.
Spurs go unbeaten all season, great, but they might even finish in Europe.
I completely agree with you. They're sitting there right now, played 11, drawn 6. They've only conceded 6 goals. Well, I'm not jealous of them. I'd rather be us.
So it's a myth that you have to have the best defence in the league to win the Premier League.
Yeah.
It is.
That's what you're getting at.
Yeah.
Definitely a myth.
It is, yeah.
What will win it is goals.
No, what wins it? What tends?
Matches,
what tends to win? It's best goal difference. You know, it tends to be that the league tends to rank itself in the end pretty close to best goal difference. The side that have the best goal difference come in the top four. It's that straightforward. There's loads of different ways to win a football match. Listen, Spurs. Spurs could flip what we're just saying, go on a run, win seven consecutive games, 1-0, and who's laughing now? But the point about this, though, is that keeping clean sheets for their own use or keeping your goals conceded down for its own use, Jurgen Klopp could have set a team up to beat Watford 2-0. But he doesn't want to set a team up to beat Watford 2-0. He set a team up for a job across a whole season and to do a certain type of football, and that's the football that he thinks will best benefit Liverpool. And people use I'm completely with Rob on this. People use the phrase pragmatism to describe, you know, managers like Mourinho. Now, what's pragmatic? The literal use of the word pragmatism, the definition is what works. So some seasons what works is being a free-scoring attacking unit. Some seasons what works is keeping it tight at the back. On the whole, as much of both as you can possibly get, what works. But what works for Liverpool at the minute, and it's not just Liverpool, Chelsea, Manchester City, Arsenal, what's working for these sides is that the free scoring attacking units, they put the ball in the back of the net, and that's working for them better than what's working for Spurs, who find themselves all of a sudden a little bit off the pace, and the manager wondering if he's got the squad that can deal with the rigours of the challenge.
So, Robbie, do you think most people are underestimating, outside of Liverpool, do you think most people are underestimating Liverpool's title challenge then?
Yeah, very, very much so. Well, the classic example was Danny Murphy on Sunday, wasn't it? Match of the day, Sunday night. Danny Murphy highlighted how poor Watford were. Right. But not give Liverpool much praise. John Watson come out and said Chelsea played the best football the Premier League's ever seen. And that was a poor Everton team. Now, Leon Osman last night on the Legends here now said he thought Watford were abysmal. But he didn't say Everton was abysmal on Saturday.
Well, he sort of indicated that, didn't he? And you've got to remember, he's still got mates within the squad, so I don't think he wanted to offend anyone.
He's a pundit, Steve. He's got to be honest.
I know. I think he went part way to saying he thought Everton were as poor as he'd seen them for a long, long time.
I really don't think Liverpool are getting enough. It's great while we're out, while we're not getting any praise. It's great. I think it's fantastic.
Do you not think they're getting praise? I think Liverpool are getting lots of praise.
I'm not worried about whether or not we're getting praise from them, but what I would say is I didn't think Watford were abysmal. And I actually think Watford would have credited the manager second half. They went 5-0 down and Liverpool took the foot off the gas a little bit. And then Watford, they pushed and pressed. They didn't down tools. They didn't stop trying. They were trying to get a goal and they got themselves a goal. I thought that Watford actually did all right. It was just that Liverpool were that good.
Watford actually had the most shots against them more than any other team that would play this season.
Yeah.
Rob, great to catch up.
Okay, Steve.
The shop busy this morning?
Yeah, not too bad. I've got two people to get saved now, so I'm going to save them now.
Yeah, what do they want?
Probably cigarillos.
Probably what?
Ciggies.
Oh, see you later, Robbie. The number one paper shop in town, Robbie.
There's a lot of fairness in what he's saying there, and as I say, I was surprised when people came out and really criticised Watford because I thought they did okay. Genuinely thought they did okay. I thought Liverpool were just couldn't live with them in patches, and that'd be what would concern me if I am watching from the outside. Is that Liverpool look as though they can take a side who are tidy, who are doing a decent enough job, and make them look like they've never played together, and that's the way in which you felt that was emanating.
Did you see
Watford.
The Everton game?
Did you?
Did you think Everton played okay?
No.
Right, okay. There's two teams within the top eight who both got dismantled by 5 and 6 goals.
Yeah, I thought Everton were fine until... I don't think Everton played great. I thought Everton were playing well. What was interesting was the wonders of modern technology, Steve. I actually missed the first 15 minutes of the game. So what happened was, as I switched on it, had just gone 1-0 and then I saw it go 2-0. So I watched that back because I thought I'd be in and getting to do all in the game, but I was a bit late in the end because if Everton are playing on the telly, I tried to watch it. So I watched back that first 15 minutes just to see, was that on the card? And what they're saying on the BT coverage, the commentators were saying, was Everton have done a really good job of holding Chelsea out here. And I think what happens is that goalkeeper makes the two mistakes. I think the first one's worse than the second. And Everton are suddenly 2-0. And I thought Everton's players, then up till half-time, their heads had gone completely. In that way in which it was this, and I've seen it happen to Liverpool sides, I've seen it happen to many teams. There was a real sort of feeling of, we'd got to the 20-minute mark, we'd battled through, we'd seen off the worst of this, and then you go and do that. And I thought there was a real essence around Everton there of, as I say, just of absolute heads falling off. The players themselves, concentration's gone. Because all they are is they're all running around. They're all emotionally engaged. They all want to win for Everton. And they can't believe that goalkeeper's just lost them the game in 80 seconds. And I thought that's what Everton's problem was. I thought they really went to bits like that. And I understand why it happens. This isn't me necessarily criticising those players, because part of playing football is that sometimes you're emotionally invested, you want to win, and then that happens. But I thought then, second half, Everton didn't really have much of a go. They weren't sort of allowed. But to only get out there with one shot on target, as Robbie says, Watford came to Anfield, they had 8 shots on goal. It wasn't as though they lay down dead and didn't get near it. The only attempt Everton have, I think, is the header from the corner that just loops over the bar from Morales, when I think it's four or five at that point. Whereas Watford came and they had a plan as to how they were going to have a go. Deeney played well. Kapua, I thought, did all right. These are decent footballers, but they just couldn't live with Liverpool. When Liverpool switched it on and played in bursts, they just couldn't live with them at all, and that's what's interesting.
Neil, thank you very much.
No problem.
Radio City Talk.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool. Cool.